pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for this special day. Be able to fellowship one with another. Thank you for your love and care for us. Thank you for coming to this earth and dying and paying for our sins. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you that for a life more abundantly. Lord, I pray you bless the remainder of this service now as God, our hearts are, Lord, I pray, closely knit to thine. As it was prayed this morning, Lord, I pray that God, whatever it is that you have for us as individuals, that we'd be obedient and listening for that thought. Lord, once again, may you be honored and glorified. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. We were driving back home. Am I on? All right. We were driving back home from vacation. We stopped. I don't know why, but we're on a, and you can judge us, but we're on a Burger King kick. Say, what does that mean? That means it tastes good. And you can get a bacon cheeseburger for $1 and 10 nuggets for $1.50. So when you have 7 people in the van, that looks like a good option. We pulled up to, we were in Clark Summit on the way back. We pulled up to the Burger King. Went to go open the door at approximately 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The door was locked. Seems to be having a hard time keeping employees over at the Burger King and in Clark Summit. They had assigned something to the effect of, we're sorry, we don't have anyone to work. The dining room is closed. Please pull through. So we pulled through, and a manager is taking our order, right? I mean, the guy in the shirt and tie, who was also making the fries and the nuggets. I think there was literally one guy in there. I don't know why, but today it is just so easy to just quit. I don't like what it is, I quit. I'm not getting what I think I deserve, I quit. That has transpired into sports. We see that in sports. We see that in school. We see that on maybe at your projects, tasks, jobs, anything, honestly, that requires the most minimal of effort, the first bit of resistance, the almost go-to approach these days is, I quit. Yep. There was a day and age when quitting was a shame. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but through life, things get difficult once in a while. Yep. At the workplace, there's going to be someone mean. All our staff is like, yeah, oh, we know who it is. Pastor Seatman. But anything that requires effort or a commitment, it seems like these days it's just so easy to quit. Yet so hard to quit on things that ought to be dropped. Sin. Sinful pleasures, sinful acquaintances. Say, what does that mean? Someone that leads you to sin. Say, yeah, but we've been friends all our life. Yeah, but they're leading you to do something that's in violation of God's word. Quit that. Don't quit school. Don't quit your job. Don't quit coming to church. Don't quit on your family. Don't quit those things. Quit sinful acquaintances. Sinful pleasures, sinful thoughts. I choose what I think about. You choose what you think about. Say, no, it just, these thoughts come into my head. Yeah, you can only think about one thing at a time. You understand that? You control what you think about. When a sinful thought comes in your head, start thinking about something else. Start thinking about puppies or whatever. Or, you know, if you're the Martinez, no, we're not thinking about puppies. Think about tacos. Think about rainbows. Think about whatever it is that makes you joyful in your head. Think about the day he got saved. Think about the kids singing in youth choir. Think about something good. But you can control what you think about. Quit thinking about sinful things, because what you think about will be what you do. Why don't you quit the things that come in between you and God? Well, it's not sin, yeah, but it's a weight which does so easily beset you. Quit that. Go to Acts chapter 11, if you would. I understand if there was one service that you wouldn't want to preach at Sunday afternoon, especially having played, eaten tons of chicken fingers. Those weren't chicken fingers. Those were like chicken fillets. Those were huge, to which we love. But I understand the timing of things, but I do have I believe through the Word of God, an important thought. And some of that were at a prayer meeting got a little preview of it, just because it was on my heart and mind. It's where I've been in my Bible reading, and I want to bring this across to you. You know, in a world that is inundated and celebratory of quitting, can I encourage you as a Christian to continue on? That is our message tonight. Continue on, Christian. Because if you get in that mentality of, hey, when it gets difficult or when things don't go my way or he picked out, chances are really good I didn't pick out the carpet or the flooring color that you thought would be right. Well, I say, how do you know that? Because look at the flooring colors. I'm not allowed to do that. I'm not allowed. But if you're easily offended, say, well, I'm just going to quit going. Quit going to church never worked out well for anybody. Quit being around God's people. Quit being around preaching. Quit being around saying, I'm going to stay home. I'm going to recover for a while at the house. Hey, stop doing that. I understand if you're sick or something like that, but can I encourage you as Christian to not get that mindset? The minute I hit resistance, I'm going to quit. Maybe it's personal, internal. And I'm just struggling. I've been dealing a lot with bitterness or anger, these other issues, and I just can't be around God's people right now. Hey, when you start telling yourself that, you know what the best thing for you to do is? Being around God's people. Or else you're going to get in a downward spiral, and it's hard to get out. The longer you're away, the devil will chirp in your ear, the longer and the harder it will be to go back. That's why our theme for this year is Rooted and Grounded, because it just got so easy. We got to be careful, because it gets so easy these days to just quit. So I'm going to encourage you tonight to continue on. Say, continue doing what? And this is I hope this will be an encouraging message. Acts chapter 11 and verse 29. I was so encouraged by this verse. I guess we can start in verse 27, Acts 11, 27. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. I loved the phrase in the middle of that verse 29, then the disciples, every man according to his ability. Hey, everybody's got a place. Everybody's got a responsibility. Everybody's got a job. Everybody can do something for the cause of Christ. And if you're sitting here tonight going, I don't feel like I'm involved, would you let me know that you desire to get involved in something? Say, why? Because I want to pray with you that God would give you what you should be involved in. Say, what do you think that is? I have no idea. Let's pray and ask the Lord. But I know he has given you an ability that he maybe hasn't given me or somebody else, that you have a job and accomplishment. Hey, why didn't everybody, or why? Not every job is for everybody. But God has a plan and a spot for you. Every man according to his ability. God has given you a gift. I don't know what it is. Maybe I do. Maybe after talking with you, we can certainly see and we can communicate that. But what has God made you able to do? Say, I told this to our Saturday morning crowd. Well, I don't have two nickels to rub together. I don't feel like I can really do this, but I can teach. I can run a bus route. I can fold scriptures. I can do that. I can pray. I love praying. I have a lot of downtime. I'm retired now. Hey, God has given you an ability. And if we make our ability availability to God, who knows what can happen? I want to encourage you to continue on. Hey, maybe in life, I'm not sure. Everyone's aware of this. In life, it goes through cycles of life. I mean, we have these young guys that have a ton of energy and zeal and absolutely zero money. I mean, that's life. Well, at the end of life, we get a group of people that have maybe a whole retirement. They've worked and saved, and now they have all this money, but no energy. And everything in between. Different life cycles. Single, married, wherever you're at. God's given you ability right where you're at. And the Bible says every man. He's got something for everybody. I mean this with all my heart. I would be honored to pray with you regularly about what God has for you here. What is it that God wants you to do? I don't know, but maybe if we ask Him, He'll tell us. Don't feel like I'm just an extra spoke on the wheel and I'm not needed here. No, absolutely not. God used people. Continue on, Christian. Number one, a people being used. There's a spot for all. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This won't be long, but I do want you to just focus in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 22. Please understand that everybody is vital. Nay, much more, 1 Corinthians 12, 22 says, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble, what does it say? Are necessary. We look at maybe adult eyes look at kids and go, oh, you can't. God says they're necessary. Oh, you're just a feeble little child. You're just a feeble elder. And are you kidding me? Necessary, the Bible says. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. He says, there's an area which you lack, you don't even know about, and I got this person over here that can fill that, but you're too proud and you can't even see it. That's pretty much what he's saying. What he's saying is, you're vital, you're important. For us to continue on, you're important. You're vital. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 25. Each contribute to the success of all. That there should be no schism in the body. That the member should have the same care one for another. For whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Kind of like what we were talking about this morning. Hey, when you're sick, your whole body just stops. But as the body of Christ, when we're all working together like we should, we all succeed and glorify. Say, what does success mean? Use that word succeed. What is that? Is that numbers? No, that's glorifying in God. We do what God so designed us to do. See, God's pleased with big numbers. That's what He wants. He saved 8 on the boat. He started with 12. God's more concerned about character than He is performance. Let's work together. Let's be unified. So do you feel like we're not? No, quite the contrary. But I want to remind us how important each of us is to one another, lest you ever get in your head or in your heart, it's not necessary for me to be here. Know every man according to his ability. So, well, I can't do that, but I can do this. And I so appreciated little Caleb Runyon. Last week he came up to me, he says, Pastor Russo, at our Sunday fun day, I have games that we could play. Can I bring those? Absolutely. He can't make chicken, but he certainly can be a blessing to kids his age. He did something I couldn't do. Appreciate his availability for the Lord. Number one, a people used. Number two, a powerful truth. Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. There was a doctor of the law. His name is Gamaliel, and he's talking of things. He makes this profound statement in verse 39 of Acts chapter 5. Pretty much saying about the disciples, he says this, which is a great conclusion, but if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. That's a true thought, isn't it? If God's behind that, what can we do to stop it? How about we, he's pretty much just saying, how about we just let this thing play out and see how this goes? Because if God's in it, honestly, there's nothing we can do. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest happily you be found even to fight against God. He says, because if we're fighting against them and they're behind, and God's behind them, we're actually not fighting against them, we're fighting against God himself. And that's not a good idea. What a profound and powerful truth. The things that we are involved in here, John 3:16, as Ryan read tonight, as we spoke of this morning, is God's eternal plan of salvation. We're involved in something that God foreordained and is working out, and you know what? Quite honestly, he'll do it with or without us. The blessing is that we get a chance to get in on it. Have an opportunity to influence eternity for his honor and glory. We got to be careful. This day and age, I love where I live. We were driving back home, and we crossed out of that wicked state of Pennsylvania and came into, I give Mrs. Rodell a hard time because we traveled together that one time, and she loves Pennsylvania. And so we came into New York, and Sarah and I, we were just kind of looking at the landscape, and she said these words, "I feel like we should make shirts. I love New York," she said. I said, "Yeah, it's a pretty great place. I mean, outside of the taxes and the political unrest. There's a group of people there that just got a hold of my heart and I love. It's a place I call home. But more important than being an American or being part of New York or even Western New York, when we were down in North Carolina there, and you know, people would ask, "Where are you from?" You know, they could tell that we're not from around there. And I say, "New York, Western New York." Yeah. Tried to clarify that. I don't know the end of the United States, but if it's like any other government, it will have a high point and a low point. I don't know how New York State's going to go, but I do know this. We're part of something much greater than either of those two things. The work of God. And if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. See, the New York State you could overthrow. The United States one day could be overthrown. I pray I don't see it in my lifetime. But we're part of something as Christians, part of something really absolutely wonderful. And that's called Christianity. That's a service to an eternal king, not an earthly one. And if it be God, He cannot overthrow it. How could you overthrow God? Well, Proverbs chapter 21. Let's look at this. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 30. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. You're going to outplan God? I love board games. And, you know, we look and we try and strategize. And I'm going to try and stop this person from winning. I'm going to take this resource or I'm going to do this thing. You think you can do that to the Lord? You think you could be wiser, have more understanding, counsel? No, you can't overthrow the God of heaven. You can't outplan Him. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Governments rise and fall, but God, He does not. 1 Corinthians 1:25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Isn't that great? And the weakness of God is stronger than man. He says, I don't know if God has a degree, but God in His foolishness, if there was, is still wiser than the wisest of mankind. You're not going to outplan the Lord, out-scheme Him, outplot Him. No, not at all. Nor will you overpower Him. He says, your strength will always be less than His weakness. But never does He act in weakness. He always acts in strength. Matthew chapter 16. This encouraged my heart when I was looking at these things. There's some crazy things happening in our world. Unbelievable. But I want to remind you of something. There has always been crazy things that have been happening in the world. Read history. Say, oh, that generation dealt with craziness too. And the one before that, the one before that. Why? Because sinful people make decisions. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. It says, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And look at what the Bible says. The strongest of all evil that we know of, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hey, I got you part of something, he says, that no one can outplan, can outpower, and is the most profound truth found in the New Testament, stating Christianity will work. Because God's behind it. If God is behind it, Gamaliel, what can we do to stop it? Aren't you encouraged to be part of something that can't be stopped? Say, does that give me an arrogance? No, that gives me a great humility. I have no place in being in such a place like that. I'm so thankful. Again, it's the kickball team. I should not have been picked. I have nothing to offer. Yet God says, all right, I'll take everybody. I want them all on my team. And I'll make a way for that. A powerful truth. Can we outplan? Can God be outplanned, outwitted, outwisdomed, outpowered? Go back to Acts chapter 11. In verse 17. Acts 11:17 says, for as much then as God gave them the like gift as He did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? This is Paul talking. Are you trying to withstand the Lord? What good would it be if I tried to hold back the direction and plan of God? Could I do that? No, I could just choose not to get involved in it. Could someone have stopped Christ from dying on the cross? I don't think so. Because that was God's will and plan. Now, He certainly chose to go to that cross and live sinless, to which I am thankful. And He gives us, you and I, each a free will to choose to get involved in the things of God or not. I remind you here tonight, you are not here by force. You are here voluntarily. Some of the kids are like, didn't really seem like it was my choice this morning. My mom was choking me with a tie. Eventually, it will be your choice. And just think about this young person. How much your parents must love you to every single Saturday and Sunday argue and put up with all your talk back about not wanting to go to church. They must think this place is really important to deal with that. Can I help you? Don't fight your parents on that. They know what's best for you. A people used, a powerful truth, and lastly, a potential revealed. If we make ourselves available, if we come to God and say, God, however you want to use me, I'm available. You've given me some abilities. If you want to give me different abilities, if you want to teach me some things along the way, I'm available however you want to use me. What can be accomplished? Well, what has been accomplished? Hebrews chapter 11. And we're almost done. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 33. What does it look like when people just make themselves available to God? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33. Who through faith? How many of you would say, well, to some degree, I live by faith? I would like to think so, right? I mean, it's not a trick question. Say, well, I do a lot of things by sight. I mean, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword out of weakness, were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. What could happen if some people just made themselves? That seems like a pretty cool list. That would be pretty neat if God used you to do or have a part in any of those things. What could be accomplished? What has been accomplished? I guess the better question would be, what couldn't be accomplished? If we work through the faith and power of God, if God was our strength and guide, what couldn't He do? If this is what He has done, what couldn't He do? Certainly the gospel could be distributed. You remember that He started with 12. And here we are, thousands of miles away, preaching the same message. How did that happen? Because some people were faithful in distributing the gospel. Churches could be started. Churches could be continued. The thought of what God could do with us if we simply made ourselves available to Him. James chapter 4 and verse 7 tells us to submit yourselves therefore to God. God, here I am. Do with me what you will. Isaiah 6:8 says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then here's Isaiah. Here am I. Send me. If you follow chronology of timing there, I don't think he preaches his first message until 20 years later, though. Made himself available. God, I'll go. That's why a young person, hey, if you're surrendering to missions at 10 or 8 or 12, you think, well, what could they do now? That was Isaiah. Isaiah said, I'll go. I don't know how old he was, but God doesn't end up doing great things for another 20 years with him. Would you say that tonight? It's sad that so much efforts are spent in trying to keep people just into church about the things of God, of just not quitting. I think the devil has us right where he wants us. If every day we're just pleading with young people, please don't quit on God. Please don't desert the faith of your fathers. Please don't walk away from the scriptures. How could we ever get to the point where someone is saying, I'll go? We're just trying to keep people right here. And God's like, yeah, but I have all this over here yet. And the devil says, huh, look what I did. Stop that group. Now, he can't prevail, but we certainly cannot be used. In sports, there's something called a trade deadline. There's a last day that you're allowed to switch teams. They do that so about halfway through the season or so, you can't wait until the last week of your team and then quick switch over to the team that's in doing really good and win a championship. You got to make the commitment earlier. I almost feel like that's today. Trade deadline. Hey, choose you this day who you're going to serve. Either get in or get out, he's pretty much saying. Because he says, I got so much to do. I don't want to see anyone get out. I want to see everyone get in and say, God, this is my ability. Maybe your ability is just availability. But where are the people that are raising their hand and saying, if God is looking for someone to send, I'll go. Where are the Henry Knotts? Where are the ladies that would board a boat and go meet up with missionary men in a place where everybody's dying to help secure the work of God? Where are those people? When today, all we're trying to do is just get people to not quit on the God of the Bible, the God that has never let them down, the God that has never stopped loving them and never stopped working with them. And continue on, Christian. Don't quit. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you fishers of men. Well, I got some plans. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. They didn't know what they were getting involved in. They just made themselves available to God. And what better thing to do for us here? Say, well, you know, we all can't be pastors or evangelists or Christian school teachers or missionaries. We can't all go. Who would take care of that? I understand that, but could we just make ourselves available and let God place us where he wants us? Let's not be so quick to just quit on the things of the Lord. And look, my Bible's closed, done. Here's my notebook. We're all set. This world has nothing to offer you. I'm just going to save you a lot of time. Just continually make yourself available to God. Continue on. Don't quit. Let's all stand. When I was typing this up and reading through this, I thought, no, I don't think we'll have an invitation, but maybe the Lord touched your heart. Maybe you want to make the transfer from hanging on by a thread, 1 foot out, the minute I get a chance, I'm out of here, to full commitment, I'm in. I'm going to make myself available to God however he wants. Say, I've done that before. Maybe you just want to remind him tonight. Maybe you just want to come and pray. Maybe you don't know what God wants you to do, and you just want to come and pray and say, Lord, I don't know what you have for me, But if you're looking to send somebody or you somebody, I want to make myself available. I commit to continue on. Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless this time of invitation now. And as the music plays, Lord, I pray that we'd consider these things in our heart. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here tonight?